I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Appreciate you joining me today as we wrap up another week. Been kind of a long, short week, strangely enough. I find myself craving a day off tomorrow. Today's going to be a long one. So anyway, we put another week in the books. The year is half over. Time flying in 2022. But we will do what we do every Friday. Next hour, we'll have False Flag Friday. We're going to take a look at U.S. foreign policy. I seem to have loaded up since I've missed a Friday last week. It's been 2 weeks since I've done the segment. I ended up loading up on quotes of the day. That's where you'll find the majority of those this time. My thinking on no entangling alliances and mining our own beeswax around the world are rooted in history, particularly with things like Founding Fathers. So anyway, we'll do False Flag Friday, and then we will finish up as we always do with This Week on the Crazy Train, as we document here on a weekly basis from 10:30 till the end of the show the entire world's descent into abject madness. Quotes of the day today. Libertarian Party's put out something again. I'm kind of keeping people abreast of this. I don't know if this is annoying or not, but somebody's got to let you know there are other alternatives out there. This is what the Libertarian Party said. One of the big knocks on libertarians, and I have this knock on some libertarians. John Stossel is a libertarian guy. You probably know John Stossel. He's had his own shows. He was with ABC for a while. He had Stossel. He's a media guy, but a libertarian guy, and he does some pretty interesting stuff. But he is a big corporate guy. He is a big corporate guy. He believes that businesses, as they exist today, the mega corporations, should be untouched by the government in any way. But he doesn't seem to have a problem with them taking tons of money from these government entities. So anyway, there are some corporatist libertarians out there. That's not who's running the party now. This is what the Libertarian Party's tweeted out. The idea that libertarians are inherently pro-corporation is a total myth. Instead, we're strictly pro-competition. We oppose propping up corporations through state subsidies and monopolies that push smaller firms and startups out of the market and raise prices for consumers. Many corporations would rather watch the world burn to the ground than be forced to compete in a free, unregulated market. It's why we seek to break the bonds between the state and the pharma industry, the state and the military-industrial complex, and other forms of modern fascism. We are the only party that dares to stand against corporate cronyism, which has nothing to do with voluntarism or individual rights. If you see things the same way, you may have a home with us. As I say, I'm going to read these things as they come across. I'm so energized by the new blood that has taken over the Libertarian Party. If you disagree with these things, you feel free to call in and tell me where they get something wrong, because I got to tell you, it's pretty tough to find if you're a conservative these days who professes to be for freedom and the United States. Another quote of the day to get us into the news today. This is an old one. 1816, on May 28th of 1816, Thomas Jefferson said, "I sincerely believe that banking establishments are more dangerous than standing armies." I sincerely believe that banking establishments are more dangerous than standing armies. And that will get us into today's news. I told you this is going to be an economic show. We had a big jobs report came out. Well, the last 3 months, you know, they revised these figures either up or down. The last 3 months were revised down 74,000. The latest monthly number for June U.S. payrolls rose by 372,000, which was a huge increase. Expectations were for about 268,000. So we had a huge jobs number. We'll see in the months coming if that's if that is revised up or down. But, you know, when I first looked at this, I thought, well, that's interesting because my suspicion might be that more and more Americans are actually going out and taking on two or three extra jobs at this point to make ends meet, particularly those with the initial, their core job being something that is not a high-paying position. I would imagine there's a lot of Americans right now scooping up jobs that seem to be available in order just to add to what they were doing before. Of course, this has been the game that's been played for decades now, as we saw the American middle class go from one wage earner in the family, and usually a mom that stayed home to raise the children, to having to have both people work, and then have kids stay home and work to help support the, I mean, with this erosion in the middle class has been going on for a while. But I would imagine there's a lot of people out there taking on second or third jobs. As a matter of fact, I meet them quite regularly. The unemployment rate is still very, very low. I think it's at 3.6%. And the interesting thing is, I saw a chart this morning. You will hear this on CNBC from the White House. We aren't at risk of a recession. Look at how low unemployment is. If you look at a chart of when unemployment dips to its lowest levels, it always precedes anyone, a recession. That's how bubbles work. When they print up a bunch of money and flood it into the economy, there's a lot of economic activity until that money starts to dry up or costs go the way they've gone now with inflation and these jobs start to be lost. Every single recession of modern times has been preceded with extremely low unemployment, but they will continue to tell you that. Good news is bad news, though. You get a good jobs report. The market started to sell off because Wall Street worries that the Federal Reserve might start raising rates and make them rise higher. Of course, my suspicion is they will do no such thing, because as soon as they put in a couple more raises in there, they're going to start to see some real problems and they'll start cutting rates again, ensuring that the inflation will continue. I guess I'll take a quick break and I'm going to come back because there are some people out there, some modern, and I've got a clip from 40 years ago to explain inflation to people. I like reinforcements here on this show, because I compete against an awful lot of people that are using the term Bidenflation. I live in a world where Joe Biden tries to blame Vladimir Putin or greedy gas station owners. So there's so much misinformation out there about what has caused this inflation, why it's happening, and why it will continue. So I use my little corner of the media landscape here to talk about the truth of what really goes on with inflation in the hopes to maybe educate people. So I've got clips from 40 years ago explaining the inflation when it was taking place, looking at the inflation of the 1970s and explaining to the people, one of the head guys, they understood inflation, because when I come back, I'll play you a clip from Jerome Powell. I've played it before, where he comes out and says, you know, we're starting to understand how little we knew about inflation. That's a lie. They know what creates inflation. They choose to ignore it. And they always want you to believe that they never could have seen this coming. They never would have made these mistakes if they'd known this was going to happen. The problem is, everybody knows this was going to happen. And so we'll do that through a series of clips. When I come back, you're listening to The Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I went home with the waitress, the way I always do. I don't know if you saw, but the former prime minister of Japan was shot and killed, an improvised shotgun by a... They described the shooter, he said he was frustrated. He was frustrated with the former prime minister of Japan, Abe, and he shot him. The headlines were kind of funny. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be dismissive. Japan ex-PM Abe assassinated while giving a speech, shot by Navy vet with homemade gun, shocks nation where firearms are rare. And then this one was particularly, you know, I get a little bit of, a smirk about this one. World leaders stunned and concerned. Now, I'm a tar and feathers guy. Don't go out there and start shooting everybody. I think that humiliation is really what most world leaders deserve. We're supposed to really like Abe because apparently he was big buddies with Donald Trump. I don't know a whole lot about him, but I do know they called it Abenomics. over in Japan. And Japan is an economic basket case. This is the prime minister that got Japan to go down this experiment where their central bank over there, the Bank of Japan, has been buying up everything, creating just a doom loop for the Japanese economy. So I'm not sure I'm supposed to be a fan of this guy because I see what he has done to this formerly prosperous little island. A very, very productive place. Very, very good at exports. Very good at electronics. Really made a name for themselves coming out of World War II. And he ran some policies that are running Japan into the ground as we speak right now. So I don't know, but I do kind of appreciate the fact that world leaders should start being concerned, because if we were free people on this planet, they'd be drug out by their hair. And as I say, I'm a stocks guy. I like the stocks. You put their head and their hands through something and let people swing by and throw tomatoes at them, that kind of thing. Tar and feathers, I like that. Banishing to an island would be great. Wouldn't it be great to get all the world's elites onto an island somewhere and let them prey only on each other? Can you imagine the backstabbing? Let them be fake to each other and try to steal from each other? It's kind of a Lord of the Flies situation for the people that we need to take out of our societies so they'll leave us alone. That I could be down with as well. But anyway, world leaders concerned about this. This is one of the biggest assassinations that's taken place in quite some time. Speaking of people that need to be hauled out by their hair, what's happened to the U.S. economy and what's happened to the money that you're spending right now, the inflation lays squarely at the hands of really a relatively small group of people. Now, not as small as some people want you to believe, like Joe Biden believes it's one man, Vladimir Putin. He's caused all this inflation. He keeps trying to sell that. It's not working. I think there's about 10% of people that actually believe that. But we'll point out who actually is responsible for this, because I'm hell-bent determined to make sure that people actually understand it. This is what our own Federal Reserve chairman said.
One way to say it would be, I think we now understand better how little we understand about inflation.
That's not very reassuring.
No, but honestly, this was...
Oh, these things are always such a big joke to them. I mean, if you're walking down the side of the highway right now listening to me on an AirPod with your gas can in your hand, trying to go get a gallon of gasoline because you ran out of gas because you tried to push it a little too far. They think it's really funny. Oh, it's really funny.
This was unpredicted. I was looking at our, at the time of our June meeting 1 year ago, of the 35 people who filed with a survey of professional forecasters, 34 of them had inflation below 4% for last year. And of course, it was way above 4%.
Yeah, of course, it was way above 4% as we're all feeling the pain right now. Well, these economists, they just didn't want to admit that what they were doing and what they've been doing is such a colossal mistake. Well, it's a mistake for us. For them, it worked out beautifully. The global elites have gotten richer and richer, richer by year. This is a former Bank of England guy. His name is... what's his name? Mervyn King. He was a former Bank of England governor, and he understood it. Now, I don't know how long it's been since he's been in office. He may have been complicit in it, too. A lot of times these guys try to rehab their reputations by coming out and telling you the truth after they've done all the damage. Greenspan here, Federal Reserve chief, kind of went out and started talking about the problems that were caused by his actions, but he kind of made it sound like he wasn't really responsible. So these people try to come out and do a little rehab of there, but he might have been one of these governors that was talking up against these things. But he explains inflation, and I'm going to play these clips because they're important. I'm so tired of listening to people, because we will not solve this. We will not demand the right things if we don't understand what causes inflation. So listen to these people explain it to you.
So I think the mistaken ideas are twofold, really, at present. The first is that people, I think, decided that when the pandemic hit, because output in the economy contracted, the right thing to do was to print a lot more money to stimulate spending, to try and bring demand back up. But that's not what the pandemic was about. The pandemic was about shutting down parts of the economy quite deliberately in order to prevent the spread of the disease. And that meant that if you simply print lots of money at a time when you're producing less, you've got a classic case of too much money chasing too few goods, and the result of that is inflation. And we started to see that last year, in 2021. That was the first, I think, mistaken idea. And it's interesting that it was common to all central banks. They basically felt we must demonstrate that we're here, we must do something. But governments were doing a great deal through, in our case, the furlough scheme, which was very sensible. Other governments had their own schemes. This was a very sensible thing to do, but it didn't need central banks to print lots of extra money on top of all that. That's generated a rise in inflation, followed by the mistake, of course, that now, I think, have understandably worried about the impact of the Russian invasion of Ukraine on energy and food prices, which is not the responsibility of central banks. So that's pushed inflation up further, but it would have been above target in any event.
Yeah, there you go. Would have been above target. This inflation was coming regardless of what happened with Putin, and I hate to say it, regardless of what happened in the 2020 election here in the United States. He's got one other clip here. I can't remember. It's been a couple of days since I heard these. Let me see what else he had to say here.
Well, really from the 1970s through until the early 1990s, inflation was something that people always talked about. Indeed, I think the best definition of getting away from inflation is when people stop talking about it. And sadly, today they are talking about it.
Now, he talks about that through the 1990s. What did they do here in the United States in the 1990s to get us to stop talking about inflation? Anybody remember what happened in 1993 during the Clinton administration? They changed the way they calculated inflation. They just changed the calculation to make the numbers smaller. So Americans just looked at the new reported numbers, the new measurements they had that reduced the reported rate of inflation, and they went, oh, it feels like I'm spending 5, 6, 7% more every single year and everything, but the government tells me it's only 1.5%, so that must be the truth.
And basically inflation turns a healthy economy into a sick one because it becomes a process of constant catch-up. You know, your wage goes up, then it's my turn later on to bargain a wage. I start to think you're getting paid more than I am. Then you think I'm getting paid more than you. It makes it very difficult for people to work out how expensive things are, whose wage is higher than somebody else's. And that makes it almost impossible for an economy to function because you don't know what the cheapest sources of supply or inputs are, what the cheapest kind of labor is, and what kind of job to take. And certainly when inflation reached over 25% in the 1970s, this was something that really started to wreck the way the whole economy worked.
So this is a guy, this is Modern Times, he's kind of rehashing this and it's talking about what took place in the 70s. But the thing is that what aggravates me about politicians who try to blame inflation on something current or a Federal Reserve chief who says, well, we're starting to understand how little we understood about inflation. Like this is some kind of a new phenomenon that they never could have imagined. Printing up all this money would cause prices to rise for people. And I just can never let these things, let those things lie. I can't let them get away with those things. This is Milton Friedman. This is what he said 40 years ago. 40 years ago, this is Milton Friedman explaining, and I'm sure he's looking back at the inflation they'd just come out of in the 1970s and understanding exactly what took place. Richard Nixon takes us off the gold standard. We inflate the money supply during the early 1970s, and what happens during the Carter administration? Inflation. Well, same thing that's happening right now. This is 40 years ago. So when you hear these people say, well, we just couldn't have seen this coming. Who could have predicted such a thing? They have known. They have known that this would be the consequence for forever.
In the modern era, the important next step is to recognize that today governments control the quantity of money, so that as a result, inflation in the United States is made in Washington and nowhere else.
Thank you.
Of course. No government, any more than any one of us, likes to take responsibility for bad things. We're all of us human. If something bad happens, it wasn't our fault. And the government is the same way. So it doesn't accept responsibility for inflation. If you listen to people in Washington talk, They will tell you that inflation is produced by greedy businessmen, or it's produced by grasping unions, or it's produced by spendthrift consumers, or maybe it's those terrible Arab sheiks who are producing it. Now, of course, businessmen are greedy. Who of us isn't? Trade unions are grasping. Who of us isn't? And there's no doubt that the consumer is a spendthrift. At least every man knows that about his wife. But none of them produce inflation for the very simple reason that neither the businessman, nor the trade union, nor the housewife has a printing press in their basement on which they can turn out those green pieces of paper we call money. Only Washington has that printing press, and therefore only Washington can produce inflation.
So this is one of the most well-known economists of all of American history, Milton Friedman, explaining inflation 40 years ago, and you have people today trying to blame each other, the right blaming Joe Biden singularly, Joe Biden blaming Vladimir Putin and greedy business owners. They are trying to misdirect you. They've known this for decades, and I'm sure long before Milton Friedman made that speech, they could look back through history and see how inflation had wrecked economies before when you debase the currency by just printing up more and more of it, basically out of nothing. So who printed all this money? The Federal Reserve. Who cheered them on? Wall Street. Who forced them really to do it? I'm not saying they wouldn't do it anyway. It did very well for the bank owners of the Federal Reserve, when they should have collapsed in 2008, 2009, turning on the printing presses saved their bacon. But it is the government, the U.S. federal government, under Republicans and Democrats, who demand this endless flow of money. So both political parties send this money out. They demand it. And which president was in office when this money printing took place? Yeah, that's Joe Biden, Donald Trump, Barack Obama. All three of them did exactly the same things. So if you're looking to blame somebody, I just gave you the list. Now, many people will take that list and they will pretend Trump and the Republicans played no part in this inflation. And if they vote hard enough in 2022, and you vote really, really, really hard in 2024, even though they'll be doing the exact same things that caused this inflation in the first place that they did back in 2017, 2018, 2019, and 2020 under the Trump administration, and then 2021 and 2022 under the Biden administration, they will believe that somehow it will turn out differently. It will not. But there is some good news. Congress is acting on the inflation. They are tackling the Fed. This is a big thing for me. You know that if you listen to the show for any period of time. I believe the Fed is the Death Star, the nexus of all the problems, all the complaints of the right and the left. Start and end with the money printing that makes all of these bad policies possible. So at least Congress is making moves to address some of this Fed behavior, to direct the Fed in a more positive direction. Here is the response. While we are suffering under this inflation created by our central bank, the Federal Reserve, this is Congress's answer to it.
The House approved a bill earlier this month that would require the Federal Reserve to address social justice concerns.
Oh.
Named the Racial and Economic Equity Act, it would amend the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 to expand the mandate of the central bank. The new mandate would oblige the Fed to promote racial and economic justice. The original Federal Reserve Act says the central bank's function is to maintain price stability and full employment. Now this new bill says the Fed, quote, shall exercise all duties and functions in a manner that fosters the elimination of disparities across racial and ethnic groups with respect to employment, income, wealth, and access to affordable credit. The bill also has new provisions for inclusive lending practices, promoting diversity in financial institutions, and reducing sexual and racial discrimination in housing. The Federal Reserve would be responsible for all of them under the new rules. Congresswoman Maxine Waters and five other Democrats sponsored the bill.
No.
It passed the House by a slim margin of 215 to 207. President Biden has shown support for the cause, but it is unlikely to pass the Senate, which is more evenly split.
Washington, D.C., it's never too late to make another bad decision. I'll be right back.
Well, it wouldn't been, couldn't been worse than you would ever know. Own the dashboard and melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I got to tell you, I think I've got good instincts. I think I had really good instincts, not to pat myself on the back, during the Trump administration when I warned, I have appointment after appointment after appointment, I told you these people were no good. I was rebuffed. I was told I didn't understand the plan. And as it turned out, every single one of them, top to bottom, turned out to be the snakes I warned you about. But I'm even more prescient than that. I want a timestamp on my show. I wish I could go back. I don't have the technological knowledge within the studio here to go back and replay my first segment of this show today. But I told you, when I saw this jobs report, where all these new jobs are created, I said, my sense would be that it's a bunch of people taking on 2-3 extra jobs to make ends meet. That's why people are taking all of these jobs. Well, as of 9:27, after I said that, I was searching Zero Hedge during the break. Timestamp on this story, Friday, July 8th, 9:27, about 10 minutes after I made that pronouncement. Here's the headline. Something snaps in the U.S. labor market. Full part-time workers plunge as multiple job holders soar. I'm telling you, I've got decent instincts for this stuff. I think, you know, when you start to see the game that's being run on people, when you start to understand the manipulation of statistics, you start to develop a sense for, okay, well, I believe we're being lied to. What could possibly be the truth behind this particular lie, this particular manipulation? Or how is this that is sold to us as a great thing that the U.S. is just humming along? How can this really be? I am an economics nerd. I pay attention to a lot of stuff. The idea that we have a robust labor market right now is insane. I knew I smelled a rat. Well, apparently I smelled the correct rat. It is. Something snaps in the U.S. labor market. Full part-time workers plunge as multiple job holders soar. So that's what you got. You got a bunch of people out there collecting more and more jobs just to try to stay ahead. I am a big guy here of trying to point out how you people on the left, you people on the right, you young people, you old people, you black people, you white people, you Hispanic people, you Republicans, you Democrats, you conservatives, you liberals, you're all getting screwed by exactly the same people, and yet you are fighting amongst each other. And this is what you get for it. This is the fate that awaits all of you. I don't care how you vote. I don't care what club you think you're in. This is what most Americans are actually experiencing.
And the news is not so good if you're looking for a new car. Higher interest rates have pushed car payments to a record high. Woo-hoo! The average monthly car payment is now $712.
Holy cow. Holy cow. There you go. I'm sure that, you know, people who voted for Biden, certainly they get a special deal. You get to wink, wink when you go to the car dealership and say, hey, man, I put Biden in office, or a Trump supporter. Hey, man, look, I'm going to put a Trump sticker on that thing. You're going to hook me up, aren't you? I'm sure you guys are getting some special deal. You carry so much water for these different camps out there. There must be some benefit to you. The only people who do enjoy a benefit, I did not know about this. There is one select class that does seem to be getting more and more breaks along the way. And I wish these people would quit and do something productive with their lives, but it is government workers. They seem to be getting still, even in the face of everything that's going on, they seem to be collecting record amounts of new bennies. Check this out.
A deadline is fast approaching for public service workers who've been paying their student loans for a substantial period of time to apply for forgiveness. According to the U.S. Department of Education, about 145,000 borrowers have had student loan debts canceled through the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program after complex restrictions were eased last fall. However, the new rules will only apply till October 31st. It's estimated a total of 43 million Americans are carrying roughly $1.6 trillion in student loan debt. The administration is still considering broader student loan forgiveness.
So public service workers, and I take issue with that term in the first place, public service. It's nothing just chaps my ass more than you hear a politician retiring or crossing some milestone and they clap them on the back and congratulate them for their 30 years of public service. Did you know that public service employees have been getting student loan forgiveness for quite some period of time, and now Biden's kind of loosened the restrictions? If you serve the Leviathan, if you become a government employee, if you get on the teat, there's all kinds of good things for you. So while Americans struggle with record rents, record food prices, record car notes now, government employees, public sector workers, they are getting a good chunk of change. They're getting their student loans just forgiven. I love that term. It's like you did something wrong. Okay, we forgive you. No, actually what that means is they are transferring their student loan debt onto the rest of the taxpayers out there. I've talked to you before about my moral quandary about that. I am going to wrestle with this, but I would imagine my own son is going to get about $10,000 of his student loans wiped out if the indications are correct as of right now. I haven't seen proof of this yet, but he's going to have it just forgiven. Isn't that great? I mean, it just must be fantastic to be a government that can print money like that. Just forgive. Now, they're going to pass the bill on to somebody else. They're not forgiving you. You're still going to get an opportunity to pay for, through inflation, through further taxation, you're going to get a chance to pay for public employees' colleges. That should give you a warm and fuzzy. Government employees should be inviting us over for dinner these days. There was also something I didn't get to it yesterday when I was had Starla Brown with Americans for Prosperity on, but Joe Biden is, I can't remember where it was yesterday, a $90 billion bailout package for private sector pension plans. $90 billion. The pension plans are woefully underfunded to, I believe, several trillion dollars across the spectrum of public and private pensions, which is just a time bomb waiting to happen. It's why they cannot afford to let them go under. The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, there's this government agency that's responsible for keeping pensions solvent. The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation itself is insolvent. Of course, but Biden, I believe, has signed something or is in the process of putting something together to take $90 billion. And that seems like a small number now, doesn't it? With all the hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars we talk about, it's just $90 billion. They're going to take $90 billion and reward all of the businesses, all of the unions that mismanaged their pension plans. And to tell you what the game is there, so you really understand what happens, if you have a business and they need to make a, let's just say they need to put $100 million into their pension plan to be able to deliver on all the promises they have for all of their workers. Well, I mean, they don't want to put $100 million in there every year because that comes off their profits. They could use that money for other things. Or if they didn't put that $100 million in there, it makes their corporation look more profitable, which helps their stock price, which gooses the benefits and the bonuses of the people at the top. So they underfund these things. They don't, we're not going to put that $100 million into our pension plan this year. We're just going to put $60 million in there. We'll just underfund it a little bit. And that extra $40 million will look like we're more profitable this year, which will cause our stock price to rise. And all the C-suite guys will get their bonuses. So they underfund these pensions. And they're coming apart at the seams. And now the federal government will just come in and make it okay. And all of these people who benefited from underfunding these pensions without any regard to the actual financial stability of these pension plans for their retirees, they have been rewarded the whole way for underfunding these things, and now the federal government with $90 billion is just going to step in and start bailing them out. It's one of the largest corporate bailouts since corporate bailouts are basically a daily thing at this point through different mechanisms. But this is a huge business bailout that nobody's really paying attention to, and I didn't even know about it until, I think, yesterday morning. So it's another one of these stories that doesn't make the rounds. Real quick, before I take a break, we'll take a call. Caller, were you with me?
Yes, I am.
Hey, what's going on?
Just to add another caveat to your discussion, I appreciate it. I've postponed retirement twice this year due to inflation.
Yeah.
And have canceled it, and I'm pushing 70 years old. I mean, because I don't want to retire. I didn't have to go get a part-time job.
Right, right. You have no idea. I mean, you know, this is really, it's really sick stuff. Coming off the heels of people trying to retire who needed to put their money in safe investments like bonds and CDs and things like this, where they got paid almost zero interest for the last 12 years. Now they're up against their retirement. They haven't been able to earn any money on their retirement for the last 12 years. Now they have no earthly idea what something's going to cost next year. You know, before you could look at your money and say, well, if I spend X number of dollars per year, I kind of, you know, we kind of settle into our expenses. We kind of understand what it takes to live the quality of life we want. So you set aside enough money to make that happen. Now you have no earthly idea what things are going to cost next year or the year after. So how the hell do you plan for that?
Exactly. And now they're saying by the end of the summer, and that's if we don't get too bad of a hurricane, $6 a gallon gas.
Yeah.
I personally feel it's probably going to go higher than that without, you know, being so negative. I'm just trying to be realistic. But look, thanks for taking my call. Have a great day.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Sorry for the situation they've put you in.
Hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, we got to live with it. Yeah, I think, and this has really been kind of a mystery to me. I've talked about it many times, is that why people, older Americans, have not been outraged over the years by several things. One is, they've done the calculations that Social Security payments would be double what they are. Every one of you getting a Social Security check, your checks would be double what they are now had they been honest in their inflation calculations, had they not changed the way they calculated inflation back in the 1990s. We let them get away with that. Retirees, all of us, we've allowed them to loot the Social Security, air quotes here in the studio, trust fund for decades now. They just take that money out and put in IOUs. Then you've got a Federal Reserve and a government who hand in hand suppressed interest rates so low that people who had to live on a fixed income had been putting their money into 5-year CDs to get 0.75%. Well, they should be getting 5%. You're generating absolutely no interest income. They have stolen this idea of be productive for your life, be responsible, set aside a little bit of money, invest it, let it grow, keep it safe in something, earn a return, and then parachute out into a life well lived at the end of your working life. Enjoy a comfortable retirement. This was always one of those promises of the American dream, and nail after nail after nail has been put in that coffin for most retirees. And I've been shocked that older Americans have not been up in arms about this over the years, particularly the interest rates. How you go to a bank and let them pay you 0.25% on your 2-year CD has got to be absolutely maddening. I got to take a break. I'll be right back.
Yeah. It's been a ride. Everybody, I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now, some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
I got to tell you, the fact that they laugh at us with this stuff is really, with the financial stuff, is what gets to me. I don't know if you saw this. The UN has been forced to pull a piece down off their website. It was originally written in 2008, but for some reason they put it back up. UN was forced to delete a weird satirical article which celebrated the benefits of world hunger after an online backlash. This was originally published in 2008, supposedly satire, but I think they're just laughing right at us. Quote, "We sometimes talk about hunger in the world as if it were a scourge that all of us want to see abolished." The author of this was Professor George Kent from the University of Hawaii. Listen to what he says here. And I mean, I think this is just the truth. For the people, for this, the people running the show, he says, quote, "a great positive value to many people. Instead, it's a fundamental," talking about hunger. He says, "hunger was actually, quote, a great positive value to many people. Indeed, it is fundamental to the working of the world's economy. Hungry people are the most productive people, especially where there is a need for manual labor." Oh, yeah, world hunger. That'll get you off your butts and running the machines for us out there. Holy cow. I got a caller on the line. Caller, did you hold with me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, what's going on?
Oh, well, all I'd say, now, you touched something basically. You're talking about the 401k and retirement plan, because for me, just being recently retired from driving trucks for over 20 plus years, they taxed me. You know, now, I know you get taxed if you go in it too early, you got to pay a tax.
Oh, yeah.
Fine. Then once you finally do retire, you pay tax on that too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, they allowed you to put it into that retirement plan without taxes. They were so benevolent, so loving to you that they allowed you to put it in without taxes. But when you take it out, oh yeah, they are going to get their bite. And like you said, we have lived under a regime in this country for years and years where that is your own money. It's your money. And they tell you if you touch it before they say you can, which I believe is 59 and a half, if you touch any of it, they're going to take 10% of it just to punish you.
Then when you do retire, they send you a check, and you can be a customer of this bank for like 10 plus years. You go to that bank, try to cash the check. Well, we got to put a hold on for 7 days. Why you got to put a hold on my money for 7 days? I can go to a check at the place and then cash it within 2 days.
You're right. I mean, particularly, you know, the banks are a little annoying. They've got electronic everything. I mean, everything transmits in a portion of a second, yet still they put these huge holds on things for days and sometimes weeks. I've run into that as well. But, yeah, I mean, this system, like I say, all of us, left, right, black, white, we're all getting screwed by the same people. And I wish we would just all come together and realize that. We still have some differences, but we need to pull these people out by their hair. Get rid of them right now.
And then when it comes to food.
Hey, man, got to jump. Into the store. Thanks. All right, be right back.
All right.
Yeah. What is it good for?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
Uh-huh.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and I have these segments that I am pretty consistent with. Every Friday, we start taking a look, really focus in on American foreign policy stuff. This is False Flag Friday, where I try to explain to everybody we've been lied and coerced and tricked into basically every one of these wars. It goes on up to and including today with Ukraine, with Iran, with China, all of this demonization and threats of military action because they're all about to come over and take our stuff. It's just not the case. So I break these things down on Friday and try to condense them when foreign policy is not leading the story, the news cycle at the time. I got a couple of quotes of the day. One of my favorite pieces, if you've not read it, it is from Smedley Butler, one of the most decorated Marines in U.S. history at the time of his writing back in the 1930s. He was the most decorated Marine in U.S. history. He wrote, "In the World War, we used propaganda to make the boys accept conscription. They were made to feel ashamed if they didn't join the Army. So vicious was this war propaganda that even God was brought into it. With few exceptions, our clergymen joined the clamor to kill, kill, kill." And if you've not read Smedley Butler's War is a Racket, it's not long. It is a pivotal piece from somebody who actually realized that they were actually a gangster for corporate interests, even back in the 30s. We've had so many warnings over the years. The 30s, Eisenhower, JFK, they've warned us. We've ignored them. Jeff Nabel says, "The most Americans are so brainwashed by the time they complete 12 years of government education that they cannot even recognize mass murder by the U.S. government as a crime." Martin Luther King said, "Those who love peace must learn to organize as effectively as those who love war." And that is always the tough part. And I ran across some things that Marjorie Taylor Greene has said recently. Listen to what Marjorie Taylor Greene is saying up there on Capitol Hill. Marjorie Taylor Greene said that, quote, "Ukraine is the new Iraq wrapped up with a pretty little NATO bow with a nuclear present inside." She said that instead of sending weapons and billions of dollars to Ukraine, the U.S. should pull out of NATO and avoid nuclear war by ceasing to provoke the Russians. Quote, "Grinding up Ukraine to fight with Russia is disgusting. Russia could have been an ally." This was tweeted out by Marjorie Taylor Greene. And lastly, she says, quote, "Warmongers in Washington seeking war with Russia should suit up and go fight it themselves. Quote, send your kids and leave ours alone. Pay for it yourself." Marjorie Taylor Greene. All wise words from MTG up there on Capitol Hill. She's seen the inside of the belly of the beast now. She realizes the warmongers for what they are. And she's calling him out. I love that. Happy to see her. Apparently she and Thomas Massie have become pretty big allies up there in Washington, D.C., and I'm happy to see her joining the ranks of the anti-war people up there. The Libertarian Party tweeted out, when the regime warns that ending foreign wars and rejecting billions of dollars in proxy war funding would harm, quote, our allies, unquote, they mean Raytheon, Boeing, and Lockheed Martin. The EU is a big part of what's going on in Ukraine right now, particularly NATO, obviously, is the organization kind of running the thing, but they're doing it at the behest of the United States Empire, which is how NATO has worked now for the past 30 years. The EU is a despicable organization. They are a body that lords over all of these independent cultures. And if you've spent any time traveling to Europe, it really is a travesty because the culture of the French and the German and the Italians, each of these European countries is so distinct and so different. And they've sat this governing body of the European Union on top of all of them. And it's globalist control over Europe and really an abolishment of their individual cultures and borders. It's really disgusting. There are representatives from the countries sent to the EU, but they have basically no power. It's a very strange structure. It's kind of like this faux representation. Each country sends their representatives to the EU where they can basically do nothing. It's just a bunch of technocrats and bureaucrats running things, unelected people. But we do get some good speeches out of the EU, and this was actually Claire Daly. I believe she is from Ireland, and she spoke up about what's going on in Ukraine right now.
Thanks, President. The goal is an endless war, not a successful war. Those were the words of Julian Assange in 2011 in relation to the war in Afghanistan, words which could now equally apply about Ukraine. Ukraine should absolutely be able to join the EU, but on terms that don't bankrupt its people and when it's ready and when a majority of its people choose. But that certainly will not be happening while the country is an active war zone, and everybody knows it. So instead, we're artificially prolonging this war with a steady flow of heavy weapons, attacking peace efforts as appeasement. The EU is guaranteeing a stalemate and ensuring that Ukraine will never be able to choose its own path. President von der Leyen gave the game away last Friday when she said Ukrainians are ready to die for the European perspective. My God, what a deluded narcissist. The real plan here, we know candidate status is bait in a trap. The real plan is to transform Ukraine into a meat grinder, use its people as cannon fodder in an endless proxy war against Russia, with the European taxpayer footing one bill after another for the arms industry. There's nothing to celebrate in that.
Amen. These people are out there. Apparently they are having a tough time altering the course of history because the warmongers are still firmly in charge, but it's nice to hear that. That's right. Ukraine is being used as just a meat grinder. The people of Ukraine are being used in this war. They could have been ended in an afternoon long before it ever started. I don't know if you saw Zelensky has come out and put a figure on what it's going to take to rebuild Ukraine. Get your pocketbooks, get your checkbooks ready. Or what you can do is just pull out. Today's Friday. Friday is always a good day to take a look at what you're spending to maintain the American empire. So you can pull out. Friday is usually payday. Pull out your pay stub. Take a look at that federal withholding and understand where this stuff is going. Zelensky has come out and said it's going to take anyone, $750 billion to rebuild Ukraine. And we know the United States will play a huge role in that. Of course, that money will just do a bit of a boomerang. The game is to destroy a country. This is not just Ukraine. This is Syria. This is Iraq. This is Afghanistan. This is all of these countries we've been involved in. The game is to go in and level something and then give big fat contracts to people to, air quotes here in the studio, rebuild the nations. So we pledge money to this country in some level of foreign aid. The money actually never even goes there. It goes straight to some corporate donor class corporation here in the United States where they go in and phone in some kind of a reconstructive effort over in that country, the country that needs to be rebuilding from the destroying that we did. This is the racket. Smedley Butler was right. War is a racket. $750 billion is the figure that Zelensky, in Ukraine has put on rebuilding Ukraine. The Russians, for their part, have said, you ain't seen nothing yet. They said they barely even started in Ukraine. The rhetoric in Ukraine is actually heating up. Antony Blinken, our Secretary of State, a truly detestable, despicable human being, Blinken will not even speak to anybody at Russia. Now, understand, this is our two countries are supposedly not at war. Of course, we are the instigator of this war. But we're not at war with each other. But the United States, under Joe Biden and this Antony Blinken at the Secretary of State's office, they are refusing to even speak to Russia, showing that they have no desire whatsoever to pursue any kind of diplomatic path towards this, because there's no money, no money for the warmongers on the left and the right in ending this war. And when you stop and think, I can't remember what the GDP of Ukraine is. I think it's in the tens of billions, yet Zelensky is saying it will take $750 billion for some reason to rebuild Ukraine after this. This has become what looks to be the greatest money laundering operation that the world may have ever seen in a war zone. I thought Iraq was war profiteering. I thought Afghanistan was war profiteering. They are taking it to an entirely new level when it comes to Ukraine. A couple of other stories here, just along these lines of foreign policy stuff. I tell you what, I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'll come back and finish this up. I've got a lot of stuff to go into this week on the crazy train, too, so I'm trying to manage my time so I don't leave so many things on the studio floor at the end of the show. But anyway, there's, you know, I ask, I'm so anti-income tax. I just don't know why we can't get a hold of this beast. I'm not sure why we keep sending Congress critters back that tell you that they are for endless military budgets. I can't figure out why thinking conservatives in particular, and now the left, the flip-flop the left has done on defense contractors and pharmaceutical companies and big banks, and it's just amazing to watch the backflips that the left has done to now support the military-industrial complex. But for thinking conservatives that seem to have some nugget of understanding of the con job that's being run on you with these endless wars, to keep sending back the same people to Washington, D.C. that vote for these huge spending bills when it comes to military spending or foreign aid is really beyond me. I can't understand why you keep doing that, but we do. Anyway, there's some couple little stories here about, you know, how are things going with our armed services these days? What is it? What's the bang for buck that you're getting with these endless contributions where you've cheered Donald Trump or cheered Roger Wicker for, you know, endless military spending? What kind of money are you getting back for that? I'll tell you when we come back. Joe Biden is obviously completely incompetent as a human being, but one thing he is able to do through, you know, his handlers are able to do through him, I guess is a better way to do, is he is doing great things for the defense contractors. Essentially what Ukraine is, rather than just a money laundering operation, it is also a munitions laundering operation. We talked about it in weeks past. Essentially, what we're doing is we're just taking out all of the excess stuff that we've got. We're sending it over to Ukraine, and then we're placing new, fresh orders with Raytheon and Boeing and Lockheed Martin to replenish with the latest and greatest and obviously substantially more expensive new stuff that we'll need to order to restock our shelves. Prior to Joe Biden and this real giveaway to the defense industry, the greatest weapons salesperson I'd ever seen in my life was Donald Trump, where he went around the world selling weapons and then telling us he was, air quotes here in the studio, rebuilding the military and got budgets well north of $700 billion a year for the Pentagon. He also launched Space Force. A lot of people very excited about Space Force, a new branch, a new branch of defense spending, because as I said, I can't quite understand where conservatives' heads are. I would imagine maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene would disagree with a new bureaucracy, military bureaucracy. But how's Space Force going? A late-night ICBM test in California ended in disaster as it exploded just seconds after liftoff on Wednesday. Officials with the Vandenberg Space Force base in Lompoc, California, confirmed that the Minotaur II space launch vehicle exploded approximately 11 seconds after launching off the test pad at 11 p.m. On Wednesday night, I guess it was. So there we go, Space Force. I don't know how much a Minotaur II ICBM costs. This is our new space launch vehicle, but we lost another one. That's okay. No harm, no foul. They don't earn the money to pay for these things. They'll pass that money on to you. Space farce. There's a very interesting report on Reason magazine. This is a libertarian magazine. Don't always agree with them. They've got some kind of Wall Street-ish, big corporate libertarian beliefs, but Reason's got some very interesting articles if you're interested in looking at things from a different point of view. And if you listen to the show, that may be something you're interested in. The Army thinks printers cost over $1 million. Poor accounting practices mean the Department of Defense can't even tell how much money or equipment it has lost. It goes through a new audit that's been done with the Pentagon. And it gets into a lot of numbers on here that would probably turn into a word salad here on the radio. But there were a couple of things that were seemed to be kind of funny. So they did an audit to try to figure out. This was particularly, I believe, in Kuwait. Let me read the contract here. A report released last week by the DOD Office of Inspector General detailed the results of a recent audit of military bases in Kuwait. You know, we got to be in Kuwait, of course, right? I mean, right? Specifically, the audit intended, quote, to determine whether the Army effectively accounted for government-furnished property. The audit focused on two bases, Camp Arifjan and Camp Buring. In 2010, a contractor, not named in the report, was awarded a $75 million contract to provide operations and security support to both bases. This was to include food and housing, payroll support, fire protection, security protection, law enforcement, and transportation. The contract was extended multiple times. They were given. This is what I'm telling you. Oh, Smedley Butler. War is a racket. This company, not named, was awarded a $75 million contract. It was extended many times to account for more than $5 billion over more than a decade. $5 billion to this contractor in Kuwait. Where did that money go? For the items that could be checked, the audit found costs that differed wildly between Army and contractor records. For example, the contractor received 12 printers, each estimated at a cost up to $400. The Army's records listed the printers at $1.1 million each, for a total discrepancy of over $13.5 million. The contractor also received 17 refrigeration units, which it logged at a little over $24,000 apiece. The Army recorded a cost of over $650,000 each for these refrigeration units. The auditors discovered that the error came from the Army's procurement office officer accidentally entering the total cost of 17 units as the per unit cost. And even though he discovered and corrected the error, the correction never updated in the Army's system. And it just goes through all of these different items that were put in there. According to the Army, they got 83 printers. 12 printers listed for over $1 million each. I won't bore you with all the figures here. It's a never-ending black hole of corruption and money laundering through the Defense Department. And this is what I have cautioned for 5 years now. Conservatives to cheer for. I watched you cheer, Donald Trump. I watched you cheer, Roger Wicker. I watched you cheer these people that tell you they're giving endless amounts of money to these, so supposedly to keep you, air quotes here in the studio, safe. You're buying million-dollar printers, and this story, these kinds of stories, have been going on since the 1980s when I first heard about the $500 hammers that the Pentagon has. When will conservatives tire of sending hard-earned cash or debt laid on our children's heads to this organization that cares not a whit about how they spend your money? And I ain't even talking about all the death and destruction that's caused with that money. I'll be right back. What's the frequency? Can it be sharp and so dream?
All right.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Friday. We end up every Friday show the same way as we chronicle the world's descent into total madness with this week on the Crazy Train. All aboard! Oftentimes, I find some clips and some news that is kind of bridges between False Flag Friday and this week on the Crazy Train, and this week is no exception. Missed a couple of things because I was out last Friday, but I did want to go back and take another look at those. And one of those was the trial, excuse me, the air quotes here in the studio, trial of Ghislaine Maxwell. We still have not seen any pictures of her, to my knowledge. I've asked for this since the day it was announced she was arrested, and I started my suspicions about whether or not she was actually in custody. We still have not seen any evidence of her sentencing pictures, any pictures in court, transported to or from court. There has been not one picture that I've seen that has been within the last 5 years of this woman, but we are told she has been sentenced. What I found was interesting was how they couched her arrest and what she was on trial for. Let me see. I got three clips here. I want to make sure I get the right one. Let's see if this is it.
Ghislaine Maxwell, the longtime associate of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein, is expected to be sentenced today for sex trafficking. Maxwell was convicted in December. Prosecutors are asking for a prison sentence of at least 30 years. Several accusers are expected to speak in court.
All right, I think that misses it. I think this is the one after she actually, the verdict, air quotes here in the studio, verdict comes down. I don't think this woman's in custody. I think this is just a story made up out of whole cloth.
Tonight, Ghislaine Maxwell has now been sentenced to 20 years in prison after her conviction for grooming underage girls for Jeffrey Epstein.
There you go. You hear how they are couching this story, how they have made this story that supposedly she got arrested and tried and convicted for grooming young girls for Jeffrey Epstein. Now, everybody knows with this situation that one of the accusations was that she was grooming girls. They ran a sex trafficking ring and pimped these little underage girls out to people all over the globe. The power brokers around the world availed themselves of these services, yet I will play this again. This is what the media is telling you she was on trial for.
Tonight, Ghislaine Maxwell has now been sentenced to 20 years in prison after her conviction for grooming underage girls for Jeffrey Epstein.
So, just hundreds of girls just for Jeffrey Epstein. So we can close the chapter on that. She's been taken. No more need to look at it anymore, right? And I guess I'll just comment on that. It was interesting. The Georgia Guidestones were blown up a couple of days ago. I'm not sure if this is a move of the resistance to the globalist or if this is a cover-up. They're trying to, as they actually play out what their plans are for us, maybe they don't want a written record of this. This was always their plans. But I love the idea of maybe some good old boys getting together in the dark of the night, having a few beers and heading over and blowing these things to smithereens. But it was interesting, even though the remaining standing slabs were deemed unsafe, why were excavation crews hurrying up to rip down the entire monument if the site was in the middle of an active crime scene? Why not save the unaffected slabs, shore up the structure, and rebuild? And that does not seem to be the objective here. Yeah, they moved in the day after, and the whole thing has been scuttled now. I'm just saying. Another one of these things. It supposedly is a crime scene. My understanding is, you know, unless it was the attacks on the World Trade Center, you don't go in and start removing all of the evidence immediately. I told you there was a tie-in between that and False Flag Friday. When I left, I was gone for a week, but it was a very sad week the week previous because we were starting to roll out these shots, these COVID shots, on our unsuspecting, helpless toddlers in this country as the FDA had given the green light to start inoculating 6 months and above. Moderna, I believe, has started testing on 3 months and above or 2 months and above now, which is just this crime against humanity continues. And just this is this week on the Crazy Train. Some people are buying into this stuff.
I feel like I've been holding my breath for like the past year.
Parents like Cassandra Schwartz are finally exhaling.
Oh.
My baby's been in a grocery store one time in her entire life. We don't go anywhere that's inside with her, you know, that's not like a friend's house that we fully vetted or her daycare. So like, I'm excited to be able to like, if I need to go grocery shopping and take her with me, I can do that.
She can do that, she says, because COVID vaccines are now available for kids under 5 years old.
Oh, can you imagine the neurotic child that this woman is about to raise? Has not taken her to a grocery store in her entire life. They have hidden from COVID. They won't go to friends' house unless they vet them. Oh, this poor child. I cannot imagine the future that awaits this child with this neurotic mom. And of course, the propaganda for the shots for the kids continues to ramp up.
Hero bandages, just like Elmo.
You were a hero today, getting your COVID vaccine, Elmo.
There was a little pinch, but Elmo was really glad to have Daddy there with him.
I had questions about Elmo getting the COVID vaccine. I talked to our pediatrician and learned that the vaccine is the best way to keep him and everyone else healthy.
Now, how in the hell, with a shot that they readily admit does not stop you from contracting COVID or spreading COVID, how in the hell do they get away on a commercial like this, this little propaganda piece using Sesame Street and Elmo, in saying that my pediatrician says it's the best way to keep me safe and everybody around me, when this thing has shown to be the leakiest vaccine they've ever put out?
It's okay to have questions about COVID vaccines for your kids.
Oh, thanks.
Get the latest facts by speaking to your pediatrician or healthcare provider.
You pediatricians should be ashamed, ashamed, ashamed of yourselves. And if this is a representation of pediatricians out there, you should just hang your heads. Please, just stop. Just stop.
Let's now move on to a question from Allison Cloyd from Arvada, Colorado. She writes, quote, with the efficacy of Moderna being so much lower for the under five crowd and Pfizer having a very small sample size, is it worth having my three-year-old vaccinated if she tested positive for COVID in February? How does that calculus change knowing we have a 10-week-old baby who can't be vaccinated yet but is breastfed, parentheses, I'm triple vaxxed, and was still in utero when I had COVID at that same time? Dr. Hurd-Garris, there's a lot to unpack here, but maybe you can give some advice to Allison here.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
Gosh, I wonder what her advice is going to be. There's a lot of moving pieces in there. A baby, she had COVID when she had a baby in utero. The young child has already had COVID earlier this year. All kinds of moving pieces. I wonder what this doctor will say about whether or not it's wise to go ahead and give them the jab.
Question, especially since, you know, her child, Allison's child, was actually positive for COVID-19 in February. And even though she had it in February, her immunity is starting to wane. So we say about, you know,
she has absolutely no basis of evidence of that. I've talked about it many times. There are people still alive right now that have got immunity to SARS, the thing that came out in 2002. They've done antibody studies to see if people still had antibodies against the original SARS, I think in 2002, and they've still got it 20 years later. But this woman just says, oh, her immunity is already waning. She has no basis in fact for that whatsoever.
30 to 90 days after getting a COVID-19 infection is an ideal time. It's still safe. You can immediately get your COVID-19 vaccination right after. But if you want to wait some time, you know, 30 to 90 days is still the safe window. She's well beyond that now. So I think it's time for Allison's child to get vaccinated, especially because she has a vulnerable 10-week-old at home.
Oh. Gosh, these clips aren't even fun to play. I play them because it's just pure insanity, and that's the gist of this whole segment of the show. But it is difficult when they're talking about toddlers. This is really difficult stuff. Of course, once you put your child on this treadmill, it never ends.
But my message today, more specifically, is for those that haven't yet received their first booster.
This is the Canadian health prime minister, the health minister, Jean-Yves Duclos, something along those lines.
The immunity conferred by a primary series of two doses of vaccines administered in 2021 has now waned. While you might have gotten infected, risk is high you could get reinfected with all the downfall, including the risk of developing symptoms of long COVID. As health experts and physicians will tell you, It's critical that you go and get the shot that's waiting for you.
Yes. This is all about, and I believe he said, I don't think I have the clip here, this is the new narrative, which is, are you up to date on your shots? They started by telling you it's just two, then they threw a booster in there, and then a second booster, and then they started debating as to whether or not it's going to be yearly or every 6 months, you know, you're going to need to take these shots, and now the term is just up to date, meaning that at any point that they change the goalpost on this thing, if you've not gotten a shot within the window that they tell you you need to have the shot in, you won't be up to date, and you won't be allowed to X, Y, or Z. This one is funny to me. Our own mini Mengele, Anthony Fauci, is on his second or third bout of COVID. I'm not sure, but he is, of course, quadruple vaxxed, got COVID anyway, and then took the Pfizer pill. He's thrown everything modern medicine has at COVID. Let's see how that's working out for him.
Dr. Anthony Fauci had a resurgence of COVID-19 symptoms after a five-day course of Paxlovid treatment. Fauci is 81 and said he first tested positive for COVID 2 weeks ago with very minimal symptoms. Once he began to feel worse and given his age, doctors prescribed Paxlovid. After the five-day course, Fauci tested negative for three consecutive days, but then had a positive test on the fourth day. He subsequently started feeling really poorly and much worse than in the first go-around, he said. Doctors put Fauci back on Paxlovid, and after 4 days, he says he feels reasonably good, but not without symptoms.
Good Lord. So he's gotten four shots, gets COVID. When he gets COVID, he takes the new Pfizer pill Paxlovid. He gets three negative days. No COVID for 3 days. And then he has an even worse rebound case of COVID after Paxlovid. So what do they do to address this new rebound case after his course of Paxlovid that is actually making him very sick, even though he has quadruple vaxxed? They give him more Paxlovid. And he says now, I'm feeling reasonably good. Good Lord. Oh, it couldn't happen to a better guy, I will say that, but that's where we are now. Of course, there is always one disease waiting in the wings. We keep hearing about it. They won't seem to let this go, and I told you, they ran an exercise for this thing a couple of years ago or last year at some point. When they run the exercise, it means they are invested in this new disease.
A large commercial lab has begun testing for monkeypox today. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, it should make testing much more available. But NPR's Ping Wong reports there are hurdles.
Over 550 cases of monkeypox have been found in the U.S. That's likely an undercount since testing has been limited. Now, testing is expected to increase. The commercial lab LabCorp is offering monkeypox tests and is expected to eventually ramp up to 10,000 tests a week, which would double current testing capacity. The commercial tests will also be easier for some doctors to order. Until recently, tests were only available through the CDC's Laboratory Response Network, which was hard for some clinics to access.
So here we go. On with the monkeypox testing. LabCorp, the first one to make the rush for the profits on this one. Now they are taunting us with monkeypox. Now, monkeypox is very interesting, isn't it? It appears, from what people are reporting on the way this manifests, to be very similar to shingles. Now, one of the known side effects of the jabs has been a reactivating the chickenpox virus that manifests itself in anyone? Shingles. It's very interesting to me that this monkeypox has suddenly popped up, and they've said it's behaving in strange ways, mutating in ways they hadn't seen monkeypox mutate before. Huh. I wonder what could have possibly caused that.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, time to finish up for the week. I want to tell you before I leave my best piece of advice every week to you with all the things that I cover and I recommend. The best has got to be, make sure that this weekend when you're heading out to find something to eat, you check out Your Pie out in Gluckstadt. They are at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway. These are 10 and 14 inch brick fired pizzas made the way that you want them right there in front of you so you can pick exactly how you want it to be. They also serve pastas and paninis, salads, gelato. They got craft beers there as well, so you need to check out Your Pie. They've got TVs all over the place. You want to catch a game and trivia on Wednesday nights. That is really a pretty fun event for a lot of people. Get a team together and come out and play some trivia. And if you come out, you're going to want to come a lot of times, so you might as well get rewarded for it. Make sure that you download the Your Pie app, and when you check out, you'll get a receipt. You just scan the barcode on that receipt. You earn points for all kinds of freebies and discounts and free pizzas and all kinds of stuff. So that is the Your Pie app. Check out Your Pie. They are at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway, right out there by Germantown High School. This is a veteran-owned, locally-owned business. Great staff out there looking to serve you. I promise you, you will not ever say a mean word to me for making that recommendation. We see a lot of people out there that go a lot of times. And make sure that you tell them the WYAB sent you. All right, what are we going to finish up with here this week on the crazy train? Well, we did find out this week, courtesy of Reuters, that as Joe Biden has been draining the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve in order to help us Americans with our gasoline prices, we found out that more than 5 million barrels of that oil were part of exports to Europe and Asia last month. Some of this even went to China. As we had record prices here in the country, it's good to know that the Biden administration is sending our strategic petroleum reserve all over the globe. Now, I will say, within the world's oil markets, this is not quite as cut and dry as a story as it is, but his harebrained idea that getting rid of all of our emergency resources, we will be Sri Lanka soon. The longer Joe Biden's in office, the closer we come to becoming Sri Lanka that ended up with one day's reserve of oil before they finally went completely bust. But you've got to maintain this. People are whining to the Biden administration about these oil prices, but you have to understand. These people, you've got to understand, you're doing this for the greater good. Brian Deese, one of Biden's spokespeople, went out and got into a little bit of trouble for saying this. To any Democrats out there who voted for Joe Biden, does this make you feel better at the pump today?
They say that this could be a long a war measured in years. And I think everybody understands why this is happening. But is it sustainable? What do you say to those families who say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years? This is just not sustainable.
Well, what you heard from the president today was a clear articulation of the stakes. This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
So there you go. If you see anybody at the gas pumps, I've yet to run across the person that's smiling while they fill it up, just feeling good about themselves and say, how can you smile while you fill up your tank and spend $100 to fill up your car? I'm protecting the liberal world order. Holy cow. The elites are still partying while we are stewing in our own juices, particularly in the inflation these days. I thought this was kind of an interesting one. Apparently, they were having Joe Biden was putting on a little party, was going to have a famous DJ come in. He's going to have Paris Hilton DJ a party for him, but he got rejected
by President Biden and their team to go DJ for that summit dinner with all the leaders of the world. But it was the same night of Britney's wedding. And then I'm like, no, I'm not going to miss that. They're like, we'll send a helicopter and you can fly back and forth. And I'm like, I'm not going to be the one landing in and out of Britney's wedding in a helicopter. Like, come on. So I had to cancel on the president.
That's a bold move. Did you tell them why you were canceling, that it was an emergency? Well, it was an emergency because Britney Spears,
yeah,
Spears
it's
was
Britney,
getting
bitch.
Yeah.
So there you go. So while you're out there struggling with your gas prices, Joe Biden tried to hire Paris Hilton to DJ a party of the world, air quotes here in the studio, leaders, one of their elite parties, and they were just going to helicopter her back and forth between Britney Spears' wedding and this party. It's nice to get a glimpse on how the other people live. I don't know if I'll play this whole thing, but this is just worth playing. This woman is so great. Have you seen this woman? She is a blonde-haired cracker, but she does the best impression of Kamala Harris I have ever heard. I don't know if you heard this. She starts reading lyrics to a song, which is basically the emptiness of a Kamala Harris speech in the first place. But I just thought this is worth playing because she's so good.
If you wake up, okay, and don't want to smile, if it takes a little while, okay, listen, open your eyes, okay, and look at the day. Okay, you gotta look at the day. You do. And listen, you'll see things in a different way. Okay? Listen, full stop. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Okay? Don't stop. Because it'll soon be here, okay? It'll soon be here. Yeah. It'll be here better than before. Okay, yesterday's gone. Yesterday's gone. Okay, it's gone. And listen, full stop, it is gone. Yeah.
Jeez. That is actually, that sounds exactly like our sitting vice president. It's just a great impression. Kathy Hochul. She is, you remember when back when we were talking about Cuomo up in New York, what a despicable, slimy piece of filth he was in New York during COVID. Well, he was forced to step down because of he was a little handsy, I guess, maybe is what ultimately took him down. Not his incredibly poor policies that resulted in the deaths of tens of thousands of senior citizens. But anyway, he got a little handsy and got kicked out. And you just didn't. This is the thing that's always amazing to me is that you can have somebody really bad at the governmental level get the boot, and they still find somebody worse than them before. But this Hochul woman in New York was asked about gun control, you know, they're trying to shore it up after some Supreme Court rulings. Listen to her her logic behind it.
Do you have the numbers to show that it's the concealed carry permit holders that are committing crimes? Because the lawful gun owner will say that you're attacking the wrong person. It's really people that are getting these guns illegally that are causing the violence, not the people going and getting the permit legally. And that's the basis for the whole Supreme Court argument. Do you have the numbers?
I don't need to have numbers. I don't have to have a data point to point to say that this is going to matter. All I know is I have a responsibility to the people of this state.
She doesn't need any stinking numbers. We don't need any statistics. We don't need anything. We just say it. We make it happen. Do you have any statistics on concealed carry? No, we don't need that. That is your new governor of New York. All right, that's about all the time I've got today. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you all on Monday.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.